I'm Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and ESPN.
I'm Robert Wall from Arliss, now streaming on HBO Now and HBO Go.
I'm Mike Lupica of MSNBC and MLB.com, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Sports Reporters Podcast as Robert and Bob and I say goodbye to baseball. But, you know, in as much of a hole as that'll put in our lives, we also get to say goodbye to A-Rod and the Big Hurt and Big Poppy.
Oh,
so there is a guy. We start, obviously, with the Red Sox winning their fourth World Series since 2004 last night against the Dodgers. They lose one game against the Yankees. They lose one game against the Astros. Those are both 100-win teams. They lose one game against the Dodgers. And Bob Ryan, let me start here as we start to try to bring some context and perspective to what we have just witnessed. The best baseball team I have ever seen is the 1998 Yankees. They ended up 125-50. Okay. The Red Sox now win 119 games. Bob, I think this is the second best team I have ever seen. And every single time any Red Sox fan got wobbly during this playoff run, they responded with their best, including when they were losing 4-0 on Saturday night.
Well, first of all, America and the world, greetings from Boston, or as we like to say, one down and three to go. Now, Michael, I still want to stick up for the big red machine in this discussion, even
couldn't
though
pitch. Couldn't pitch.
Even a pitching was, but they got it done. But it wasn't definitely the lineup. I still check that lineup. I put that lineup up against anybody. But the achievement. You know, it's funny, Mike. I was in the eye of the hurricane, if you will. You know, sitting here, season ticket holder, going to a lot of games, watching a lot of games, observe, and never feeling it was. There was greatness. Now, maybe because I feared the opposition and said, well, the Yankees are just as good as they are. I knew down the road that lay in wait the defending champion Astros, and we thought the Indians could cause some trouble. I just never felt that they had, to me, separated themselves despite the WLs from the pack. Now, I take and look at it's all done. Take a deep breath, and you look at the achievement. The best team in spring training, a 17-2 start. Answer all the questions at any time during the course of the season, and then the playoff march, which we'll dissect, I'm sure.
Bobby, talk about where they were on the evening of July 1st with the Yankees.
Yes,
on the evening of July 1st.
They were in arrears in two games in the loss to the New York Yankees. And and they came out of July. By the end of July, Judge was gone, and there was a crucial series in Boston at the beginning of August. The lead was up to 5, and when it was over, it was 9. It was over. But the month of July was crucial for them. So anyway, they answered all the questions and entered the postseason with questions about pitching, both starting and relieving. They've all been answered. That's it. They did it. So I'm in ecstasy and I'm in awe at the same time.
It is rare in today's society to see a team, T-E-A-M, that doesn't call attention to themselves, or individuals who don't call attention to themselves. And I know that each team, each Red Sox championship team, has their own personality. You had the first one, and that's, you know, coming back from 3-3 down. The second one, which proved it wasn't a fluke. The third one was Boston Strong. This one, where it doesn't have a identity per se, might be, I would think, in the long run, is going to be the most friendly. Is friendly the word? No. It's the warmest one. This is a terrific team made of guys you really like.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nobody you say that guy's a jerk and this guy. And the way they took on roles that, okay, you're a starter today, you're leaving the next 3 days, you're doing this. This was old school baseball at a time when most people were out of old school baseball. Let's also remember that this team, Mike said in the beginning, only lost one game on the road in this entire series, and it took 18 innings to beat them. I mean, think about that.
Robert and Bob, I just filed a column to MLB.com, and I told my editor I was going to write it last night. And I will stand by this, and I am perfectly aware that, you know, as Ryan keeps pointing out, just because you put up a pinch hitter doesn't mean he's going to hit a three-run homer the way Mitch Moreland did the other night. Okay, however, this is the best and most creative managing job I have ever seen in the baseball postseason. What Alex Cora has done, and he wasn't perfect. He left Eduardo Rodriguez in for one batter too long the other night, and Puig made him pay for it, okay? Every move he made was predicated, Ryan, on something that as a fan, you always want to see your manager do at this time of year. And Alex learned it sitting next to AJ Hinch last year. You worry about tomorrow's game in a short season tomorrow.
You do, and specifically the way he handled it, there was criticism sitting there waiting to happen after Game 3 if they had not come back.
Because he pitched Eovaldi so long.
Right, and the way he handled that, people say, oh, he set up, you know, he pushed all the chips in the middle of the table, and he didn't win the pot. And they said, oh, they're in trouble. And then, you know, his team always bailed him out. Rodriguez gave him the innings they needed. Team has bailed him out. And that's that. It's just a wonderful, blissful combination of execution and intelligence on the part of the manager. But in the end, you know, the players, they got contributions from so many different guys going all the way back. Let's remember how this thing started. This whole thing started with J.D. DeMartinez righting the ship before it even, you know, took out any water by hitting a 3-run homer in the first inning against the Yankees, right? And remember,
and all the way through last night, Bob, when Pierce starts the game by hitting a 2-run homer first inning, and everybody says, oh,
but
okay,
you think about vignettes. Go back to Sandy Leone doing his his Baryshnikov thing behind the plate, saving runs, plural, and the beginning of the playoffs, you know, and then you don't see him anymore because Vasquez is catching, and oh, by the way, he's getting a hit when you need one at times, and so yeah, they've got contributions from so many.
Robert, well, you were just talking about this, and as Bob Ryan, my mentor, was saying this. Okay, can you think of a member of this team? And I'm talking about anybody, maybe Blake Swihart, Bob, that did not make some sort of meaningful contribution in this run. Everybody did something.
It was, well, Kinsler.
He got a big hit against
Yes, he did. In was it game 4 where he almost ran for the cycle, almost getting picked off of first base, overran third base, and got thrown out of the plate?
He's not what he was, Mr. Wall.
But still, Ian Kinsler has earned his place in this. I mean, no. I mean, you know, I'm watching Jackie Bradley Jr., and you know I'm talking to guys who know what I'm talking about. He reminds me of a left-handed Paul Blair. I'm watching him in the outfield, and I'm saying, this is Paul Blair. This, you know, he's a light-hitting guy, but he'll get a big hit for you. And nobody's going to be better than him in center field. I'm watching Chris Sale, who, if you think about it, Chris Sale was, you know, didn't do much, and yet he closes out the last game. Loved it. Boy, did he look thin. And then you see the character of Kershaw, which is something else we should talk about also. And then Dave Roberts. I want to talk a little bit about Dave Roberts, too, because I think he's going to get bad-mouthed because of this thing, and it's unfair. This is a great team. You know, what are you going to do when you put in 7 pitchers and all 7 pitchers give up a run? Why is that your
fault?
Robert,
and when your starting pitcher says, keep an eye on me, okay, he might as well have been shouting at his manager that he was running out of gas, whatever was about to unfold. I mean, what is Robert supposed to think when his 38-year-old starting pitcher says, keep an eye on me now?
All I know is this guy's managing, was it 2 years? How many years? He's back-to-back.
Third year,
2 World Series. You know, and he's so likable. He's very upfront. He's a stand-up guy. I don't see any glaring, except for the first game maybe, glaring things that he did that they were beat by a better team. Let's face it. The 3 best teams in baseball this year were the Yankees, the Astros, and the Red Sox. And the Dodgers were probably 4th, and they beat all 3 of them.
Hey, by the way, before we get back to the Red Sox, I'm glad you brought this up, Robert, because Bob Ryan, I tweeted this out the other night because I was at Game 5 last year, which is the craziest baseball game I've ever seen, 13-12 for the Astros, okay? Please remember that the Dodgers might be the world champions 2 years running, except in the 2 biggest moments of both World Series, they could not hold a 4-0 lead. And when they lost Game 5 to the Astros last year, they had Kershaw on the mound with a 4-0 lead, and I forget, he was like 97-2, some crazy number when he had that big a lead. And this year, they hadn't lost a single game when they were up 4-0, and they they do not win game four. And I'm telling you, it just reminds you again. I'm doing a parting shot about how fragile these big stories are and how they turn on these moments. But the Dodgers could not hold two 4-0 leads in the World Series. And now somebody else has won the last two World Series.
Yep. It's just, we could go on and on about little things, but Mike, we were talking earlier, and I'm going to give you credit for pointing out that maybe a pivotal moment last night was when after Martinez lost the ball
twilight,
yep. Got a man on third with one out, and they do not score.
And by the way, their own Mr. October is at the plate, and Turner swings at the first pitch. It's one out, man on third. They're about to tie the game at 2-2, okay? And he hits a ground ball to Bogarts. And when Price gets out of that, I'm thinking to myself, that is a huge change in the dynamic of this baseball game. Because, Robert Wall, if you remember in the deciding game against the Astros, they did an in-game interview with A.J. Hinch, who I think is brilliant, okay? And he honestly said that night, you're seeing the anxiety of being behind in an elimination game. That was the night JD had put the Red Sox up 1-0 with a home run. And man, the longer that went on last night, you know, as strikeout after strikeout, you could see it just grinding the Dodgers into dust.
I'm surprised with the things I've read so far this morning. I would have made a big deal out of the emphatic punctuation ending it with 6 straight strikeouts.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that, you know, that's a World Series first. I don't have to even worry about it calling up the people at Elias to find that out. And I just think that's an extraordinary exclamation point on this entire season. We've been talking about what a wonderful start to finish season it is. No season has ever ended, ever in the history of baseball.
They've been playing a long time, too. They've been playing baseball a long time.
Has not ended with back to back innings of punch outs.
All right, hey, but Robert Wall, I got a question for you because my son started asking me this as soon as the game was over last night, and I gave them the answer that turned out to be right. MVP, Pierce or Price?
Ooh, Pierce. I have no problem with Pierce. I would have
nor do I. By the way,
I if they would have gone to Price, somebody would have said Pierce. I don't have problems with either of that. But you know what's interesting to me, though, is if you're just talking about the bullpen. Out of all the teams in the playoffs that were going into this last year, with Milwaukee and the Yankees and Houston, the last team you said the Achilles heel of the Boston Red Sox is their bullpen getting to Kimbrel. Well, Kimbrel was very shaky for the most part during this, but the rest of the bullpen, which included half of the starters, was unbelievable. But that's, again, going back to team. Team. I mean, that's why you like this team. Now, the Yankees had a very likable team last year. Now, I fear, I hope, I pray that they do not sign Manny Machado. This is a guy who New York will hate from the first inning on. There's not a doubt in my mind.
Robert, there are so many red flags with Machado that he could be a red state all by himself at this point. And if he's not going to run out balls at the end of the World Series, when the hell is he going to run out balls?
Wow.
It's not part of my game.
It's not part of his game.
I'm not Johnny Hustle.
That plays well in New York.
I leave that for the guys that don't have my extraordinary talent, Mike.
Hey, Bob, for all of the, obviously, we saw David Ortiz maybe have the greatest hitting October I've ever seen in 2013. Okay, it's on base and slugging percentage was like 4 million, okay? But how about Pierce's finish? Okay. How about on the last two nights hitting 3 home runs and, oh, by the way, a bases clearing double?
What do you think his Q rating was in the baseball fandom at the start of the 2018 season?
With a unique place in baseball history, played for all 5 teams in the American League East.
I know, but in the American League, and I'm sure, how many National League fans could identify him in the theoretical lineup? No. I mean, it's amazing that he has emerged and to do what he's done. He seems like a very grateful, worthy guy. You root for this guy as well. So, but what a pick up now the unsung hero of all this, we might as well got to get to it, is Dave Dombrowski. Talk about pushing buttons. Talk about making decisions. Look at the pickups. They're not here.
Starting with Alex Cora. Starting with Bob, you have to start there.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yes. Oh, you can't say enough about Cora, and you know, I've been
Evaldi,
asked a lot.
Okay, Dombrowski All-Stars, okay,
yep.
in no particular order, and I'm throwing the manager in. So he gets Alex Cora, they sign J.D. Martinez, which was supposed to be inevitable, but Robert Wall, people forget, this signing was not until February, okay?
Oh, yeah.
This thing was starting to drag on. Okay, so now you add him. Now you trade for Pierce, and it is not even a big headline. It's not even a headline.
It's minor
the day they
money.
Make this, they make this trade in June, and then Nathan Eovaldi. By the way, when they got Nathan Eovaldi, he was 3-4 with the Rays. Okay, nobody.
he actually was throwing. However, you left out one that I think might be, from a team point of view. And Bob, follow me up on this. Mm-hmm. The most in the middle of the season, they cut Hanley Ramirez.
It's a huge move. Yeah, you are 100% right, Robert Wall. It's a huge move. And Buck Showalter said to me the other day, it just seemed to solidify
you bet.
Their team. Yep.
And some people, you know, said, and I might have, you know, gone, yeah, maybe they're right at the time. Some said, they're going to regret this in October because he's a big-time performer when the spotlight's on. And you talk about forgotten man. Oh, Robert, you're so right. He is absolutely, it's like he never existed. I'm sorry. And in fact, and by the way, someone wrote about this 2 days ago. Hadn't been heard from. No one even knows where he is. I mean, he is just completely invisible. No, and by the way, did you note that no one picked him up? We all know. No one went after him. That was a very good.
They could have gotten him for nothing, right? They could have gotten him for pennies on the dollar.
That great Branch Rickey line, addition by subtraction.
You bet. You know, also, you have to remember, think of when you talk about Dombrowski again. Making the big trade 2 years ago for Chris Sale, not afraid. He's old school. In a world of all, you know, sabermetric analytical things, I mean, Dombrowski, who I've known since he started the Marlins, because I was with the ownership group at that time as a friend. Remember the first thing he did was sign Mitch Moreland, which eliminated the need for the Ever Cosmer. Everybody thought they were going to get Hosmer. Mm. And he signs Mitch Moreland. Okay, I mean, this... It's a great – and last year, the decision to bring up Devers. These are great moves.
I got to tell you guys, I'm a devotee of baseball prospectus, and I always have it by my side during the whole season. And I looked up, before the game, I did some pregame prep from what I hope would be the last game of the season. And seriously, Mitch Moreland, their description of Mitch Moreland in baseball prospectus, I wish I had it in front of me verbatim, but I'm telling you about it. Said they compared him to – a good serviceable Toyota Camry or a pair of Docker dress shoes, nothing fancy, nothing but serviceable. They get the job done for you, you know, without
and
any
he
frills.
Hit the, Bob, he changed everything. He changed everything in game four. It's Red Sox fans of a certain age will remember in the famous Carlton Fisk game in the 75 World Series, it doesn't happen if Bernie Carbo doesn't hit a 3-run home run. Okay?
No, it doesn't.
This was the Carbo home run, and guys, apparently, and you wouldn't have figured him for this role, Mr. Sale, before he pitched that filthy ninth inning last night, the night before gave apparently the greatest Rockne-like in-game pep talk, fiery pep talk in World Series history.
No kidding. And I didn't know that was part of his makeup at all, but apparently, you know, it was well known inside the clubhouse. There was a fire that burned, but that was something. Yes. There's some video available. It's really hilarious.
But haven't talked enough about David Price. I mean, there have been two great narrative changes at this time of year. One is Alex Rodriguez did this for himself in the 2009 postseason after he had been such Robert Wall. He had been such a miserable failure for the Yankees in October that there was a night in a division series against the Tigers when Joe Torre batted him eighth because he wasn't allowed to bat him 10th. Okay. And now he redeems himself. What Price has done, he has now taken his place with the great October Red Sox heroes, and no bloody sock or anything like that. But oh my God, he was remembered one way There were Red Sox fans I know who said he's not going to be on the team next year going into the postseason. And now here we are. He pitches the closeout game against the Astros. He pitches the closeout game of the World Series.
You know, you keep hearing time and again. We go back to the famous, infamous in Boston episode on the plane last year when he accosted Dennis Eckersley.
Yes.
And, of course, he was appropriately excoriated for that. But I have to say that watching him and listening to him and all year now, this year, and taking into account what the players say about him in the clock, it was born out of his sincere desire to protect the teammate. The teammate in question was Eduardo Rodriguez. And Eck had, you know, said about Rodriguez's performance at that time, yuck. That's all he said, you know. It was a way overreaction, no question, unnecessary overreaction, picking on the wrong person, et cetera, at the wrong time. But point being, it was all out of, I think I'm going to give him full benefit of the doubt, it was out of a sincere desire to protect the teammate. And he does appear to be, they all say, he's a great teammate. And do you know, I'm sure you both of you may have read that what he did after the 18 inning game, that he was basically he attached himself to Eovaldi.
Yeah.
And went to the bus with him and sat with him and you know, just to say, hey, you know, well, whatever, you can imagine, you know, that's impressive. And it was, and I don't think it's for show. I think it was that's who he really is.
Moving forward just a second about baseball in general. We're talking about these teams. Let us not forget, though, the bigger picture here. Boston had the biggest payroll in baseball. Los Angeles had the third biggest payroll in baseball. Last year, the four teams in the league championship series represented the four biggest cities in the country: New York, Chicago, Houston, and Los Angeles. Is this, you know, we're talking about the game, but in a bigger picture, are we starting to go back? Is the pendulum's totally swung the other way now? Because with the exception of Milwaukee, which I heard a stat that blew me away. Do you know that Milwaukee, since they became the Brewers, have outdrawn the Atlanta Braves with all their championships?
Oh, it's a great baseball town. Oh, yeah.
That shocked me. With all those pennants and all those the World Series appearances, the divisions, that the Milwaukee Brewers have outdrawn them during that whole period. Phenomenal. But getting back, has the pendulum swung too far the other way?
Okay, well, you know, Robert, it's a fair point, and obviously you reference the Brewers because they came within an eyelash of going to the World Series. Okay, here's the biggest payrolls in baseball this year. You ready? Boston. You know who was two? The Giants. San Francisco Giants. Okay, three the Dodgers, four the Cubs, five the Nationals. The Yankees were six. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim were seven. Cardinals eight. Asteroids nine. Mariners 10. So the city-wise, you know, there's some variety in there. Do I think we're moving up on the era of the super team a la the NBA? Yeah, I kind of do, okay? And what's interesting is this World Series didn't rate on television the way everybody thought it was.
No.
And I don't know what to make of that. Ryan, what do you think?
Mike, when the subject of TV ratings comes up in sports, I give up. I try to say I don't pay attention to it, but obviously I have to be aware of it. But I don't have an answer for it. I mean, I truly don't. And except, you know, baseball versus football, you know, that kind of thing. But you would have thought Boston, L.A. would have had a very, very large appeal. And but the TV ratings, I just don't
But
know.
To close the book on this World Series, again, you know, Robert Wool, we talk a lot about our friend Bill Parcells, and you are what your record says you are, okay? And it turned out the Red Sox were what their record
That's
said
right.
they were.
That's right.
They were the best. Bob's right. They were the best team in April. They were the best team on the second half of the summer. They were the best team against the Yankees, against the Asteroids, and against the Dodgers in the World Series. And sometimes, yeah, you are what your record says you are. And by the way, we're going to come back to baseball before this podcast is over, because it turns out that the Mets have now hired Arliss to be their general manager.
So I'll give you the state of the team in a second.
All right. Okay, but today, before we get to football, today's episode of the Sports Reporters is brought to you by HelloFresh. HelloFresh is a meal kit. Listen to this, Will, because, you know, you travel a lot. This is good. A meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. There's something for everyone with HelloFresh's selection. There are three plans to choose from: classic, veggie, and family. Each box is made up of fresh, responsibly obtained ingredients from carefully selected farms and high-rated trusted sources. You should look forward to your HelloFresh delivery, knowing dinner just got that much easier. easier. Feel confident when cooking HelloFresh with the simple recipes outlined on pictured step-by-step instruction cards. All the ingredients come pre-measured in handy labeled meal kits so you know which ingredients go with which recipe. You won't spend all night in the kitchen because recipes only take around 30 minutes. It's delivered right to your door in recyclable, insulated packaging, and there are lots of one-pot recipes for seriously speedy cooking and minimal cleanup. Cooking becomes something you actually want to do. Now the good part. Right now, our listeners get $20 off your first three boxes. That is a total of $60 off. All you have to do is visit HelloFresh.com/sportsreporters60 and enter promo code sportsreporters60, sportsreporters60. It's that simple. Go to HelloFresh.com/sportsreporters60 and enter promo code sportsreporters60 for 60% off your first three boxes. Okay, on
Michael, let me just interject one thing before we leave. Because my role was to point out, you know, history, of course, is that the Red Sox still have a lot of work to do in this century, because by 1918, they had won five. And now, by 2018, in this century, they've only won four. So they have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, okay, and now. You know what? And Robert Wall, you know, I know how much time you spend in New York, but it's reached the point now in baseball where, I don't know, the Yankees are so last century. You know what I'm saying, Wall? Oh. They're just so last century.
We give them
now.
The 20th match.
Actually, last year's team was, you know, after last year, everybody was very excited. I mean, last year's team was a very exciting young team that they thought, my, boy, looking forward to the future here, you know, forgetting that Boston beating them in the play in the division last year. But the Yankees, going forward, they're going to sign Machado, I fear. I really do.
All right, on to football. Listen, there's games you circle going in. We circled Packers at Rams. I went on and on the other day. You guys know that I thought that the Packers had a great chance to win this game, and they did have a great chance to win this game until Mr. Montgomery decided to run the ball out of the end zone and ended up fumbling, and he obviously didn't know he was going to do that, and prevent Aaron Rodgers from taking his team down the field and probably kicking a field goal that would have made the Rams not undefeated. Oh my God. Robert, well, I'll start with you. Is Aaron Rodgers not the heartbreak kid of the NFL?
You know, talk about, you know, as your buddy, your good friend, my mentor, Bill Goldman, would say, screenplays are structure, but stories are characters. And
folks, now let me just say this. Now, where else do you get this stuff? Come on, guys. What other podcast can provide that kind of... All right, no, go ahead.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is one of the all-time great characters. You know, Green Bay's been lucky. I mean, think of all the quarterbacks' characters they've had. But here's Aaron Rodgers, and everybody who is watching this game in America and around the world on Armed Services Radio waiting for this moment. Okay, here comes the great drive. And this guy just rips the heart out from you. It's like, what are you doing? I mean, everybody in America, it's like, oh my God, it's over. Why?
They did cut to him. You saw the look on his face too. The look of just utter and complete incredulity and exasperation.
Okay, so I wondered after the game if he had been told, Mr. Montgomery, do not run the ball out. Do not even waste 8 seconds, okay? Just take a knee if the ball is in the end zone and give the ball to number 12 and ask him to take your team. Here's what Mike McCarthy said, okay? The plan was to stay in the end zone and give the ball to Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, the plan there is to stay in the end zone. 2 minutes, we actually talked about it as a team. But that's what those games come down to. There are decisions. Ty is in that decision situation. This is like coach speak, okay? I'm sure Ty was trying to make a play. So here's my question, guys, okay? Is it enough to say the plan was, or for the head coach or the special teams coach, Ron Zook, to put their hands on Mr. Montgomery's shoulder and say, if the ball is in the end zone, do not run it out? Do you think that is what happened?
Well, I think that's what happened. Well, we all think we agree that's what should have happened. We don't know. Are we going to get a straight answer? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Do they want to bury it? No, he's a young kid. They don't want to lose him or bury him or make him humiliate him or anything. So maybe, you know, we'll never get the answer on that one. Hey, I got to ask you guys a question about, we don't want to bury the lead on this game. What do we make of Gurley's decision?
It was great. And I know you tweeted something out.
I did.
I'm with Mike.
So great.
I'm told I'm now a Mike, I'm told now I am a, and this is, this, how can I live with this? I am now a pariah in the gambling community.
Oh, did that? Oh, oh did yeah. That, oh, see, I don't know.
Oh,
see,
of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I
never,
well, I love. I mean,
which and
I,
fantasy which, and the fantasy was, community,
which was my goal. So I'm so proud of myself.
There you go. Good for you.
I am so proud of myself. Sometimes you know you get the BOMO a little bit late, and you don't do it. I did what I wanted to do. Damn it! And getting the appropriate result. They hate me in the fantasy world. And they hate me in the gambling world. And God, I love it.
Listen, as they say in Tel Aviv, good on you.
And you know what I did look up, guys, and according in the line that I saw, and you know I know they're a variable line. It was 8.5. So do the math on the on
oh my
the
God.
Cover.
Well, but
do the math on
was,
the cover.
It
I don't
is,
know what the over under was. I'd love to know that too.
Robert Wall, I always joke about this with Gurley. He's the greatest Gurley man in the history of the National Football League. Okay, and for him to do that, for him to have that presence, okay, and. You know, it's funny. I was talking to Buck Showalter the other day, and he was saying that so much of what sports has become is it's the opposite of we're, everything is for the team. It's all about me, okay?
Mm-hmm. And their brand.
Was a,
and their brand.
Here was a, yeah, but guess whose brand got enhanced yesterday by being a team guy? Todd Gurley's was. I mean, people are going to remember that moment, and he had clearly, and by the way, he may have decided this going in, but he doesn't know he's going to end up in the clear like that.
No,
that was a decision made in the moment, and it was a great decision.
Wouldn't you like to think that this is being the topic of discussion at every college and high school football session today, that the coach is saying, did you guys see what Todd Gurley did? Do you understand the magnitude and the what he did? And you know,
oh,
I hope it's a teaching.
Well, Robert Wall, okay, can I ask you a question? Coming out of that game yesterday, okay, if you're and even knowing that the Packers have to go to Foxborough now, if you're a Packers fan, and I know they're 3-3-1 and they're probably going to go to 3-4-1, aren't you encouraged by what you saw yesterday?
Yes, for the most part. That division's still theirs for the taking.
Yes.
I watched the Bears play the Jets yesterday, and if both teams left the field, it would have taken 6 plays to score. Yes, you could say the defenses were good, but if they can't get into a shootout with Green Bay, Detroit. Again, Mitch isn't here. I'm sure he would be naysaying the Lions' chances. I still think that the Packers are there. And let me tell you, if the Packers get in, they're a tough out.
Puncher's chance. Yeah, it's a boxing expression, Robert. They have a puncher's chance as long as number 12 is in
exactly.
The game.
Exactly. Something about the Gurley thing I want to get back to, though. When you talk about how every coach is going and saying, this is team, this is team, this is team. Conversely, this morning I've been listening to talk radio, and every talk show host, who of course is into fantasy and picking draft, they're all killing him. They're all killing the guy because he didn't, because of their fantasy team or their gambling. So this is the other side of the coin.
Hey, all right, so the Rams stay undefeated, okay? And before we move on to the Saints, who are starting to pick up momentum now, it's a very big win for the Saints in Sunday Night Football. We're going to talk about that in 1 second, okay? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that the two number 12s, okay, Brady and Rodgers, will be facing each other for only the second time? I mean, wouldn't you think that just by accident, I mean, we never got him in the Super Bowl, which would have been a dream Super Bowl. Next weekend, the Packers play the Patriots, and the two number 12s go up against each other for the second time.
Well, I know one time it's because there was an opportunity, but Rodgers was hurt. Matt Flynn started. I remember that game. But
right.
Yeah,
and then in 2014 they played, and now they're going to play. So anyway, that's a very cool game. All right, what about the Saints? The Saints, that's a pretty good whipping they put on the Vikings last night.
Yeah, that was impressive.
Yeah, well.
They no question. They did it with Breeze throwing for 120 yards is all. He was 18 for, talk about Dinkin and Duncan, 18 for 23 for 120 yards. But they got that double head barrel backfield back now. And I think they're looking. They're trending upward, gentlemen. That's the way I would like to put it. They're trending upward.
If I can also give a shout out to somebody else who came back. We talk about veteran players. Did anybody watch Adrian Peterson yesterday?
Oh, yes.
I'm
glad you brought that up.
Oh, my Lord. You know what, Robert? There was one run, not the big touchdown run at the end, okay? I watched him a couple of times, you know, I'm going to use a football speak expression, get to the edge. And I'm watching him get to the edge yesterday, and I'm thinking, if I didn't know what year it was, I wouldn't know what year it was watching Adrian Peterson.
It's interesting because he lost a couple of years, and by doing so, his body wasn't beaten up for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But the fact that this guy played in, you know, Minnesota and the Midwest, had he been in a big market, I don't think we truly appreciate how great this guy really was, whatever.
Hey, by the way, can we? I get back to the Saints for just one second before we move on, okay? Who would have known at the start of the season that a young man named Taysom Hill would be the most interesting man in the world? By the way, Sean Payton is using this kid as a quarterback, as a tight end, with all these crazy formations. Sean Payton is reminding everybody that he is one of the best coaches in the business. And boy, guys, again, before we move on from the Saints, Ryan, you're right. This is an incredibly balanced and deep football team.
Sean Payton, who is not, would not be eligible to run for president of the United States, by the way, due to his callow youth. So he's interesting. Yeah, very much so. No, he's a good guy to have in the mix. I'm thinking of Sean McVay. I'm sorry. Sean McVay is not eligible to be run for president of the United States, but Sean Payton.
Why
is
that, Bob?
Because you got to be 35.
Oh, okay. That's a good point.
But eventually he will be.
Eventually he will be. Yeah. One other couple of just odds and ends. I just, you know, as long as we're in this. Le'Veon who?
I know.
Really? Yeah, good
you
point.
Stay away. I mean, this guy Connor gave us over 200 more yards from scrimmage yesterday. I mean, yeah, total. He ran for 146. He caught five passes for 66. They're hanging around. I must admit, guys, I dismissed them out of hand early, and they're hanging around, right?
Hey, okay, let's just jump around football. How about after he was completely dismissed and became an afterthought, how about Ryan Fitzpatrick rejoining the fray and nearly winning that game yesterday?
Yeah, that was great.
George Blanda. George Blanda coming off the bench. I want to see this guy kick too.
Jameis Winston, here is a clipboard. Here's one of those little earpieces that the backup court. You go stand over there and you watch Mr. Fitzpatrick play for the rest of the year. I mean, I'm telling you something, that he gives them a chance. They're 3-4. That, by the way, that's a very interesting decision because, okay, here's another odds and end from yesterday. The Carolina Panthers quietly becoming a very good and interesting. Are they not, Ryan? Interesting.
Led by the quarterback who put up a big day yesterday. He's having a good year. It's the best year since his MVP year. He's a load. It's a handful, and they are. They're another one trending upward. You know, the season's taking shape. Interestingly, finally, you know, I think it was a strange start, really. And I'm going to throw one other thing out there, and I'm not being facetious. I know it sounds like I may be, but I'm not. I said at the time, gentlemen, that those ties could be very beneficial to somebody. And everybody's poo-pooing the ties, which I have no problem with, by the way. Pittsburgh's tie could be the tie-breaker for them down the end. That not having an L, I'm telling you. Just keep your eye on the tie. I hope the guy that comes into play, it would make me feel very good.
Another thing about Pittsburgh, too, that I heard about this morning is that apparently the coach, Mike Tomlin,
yeah.
lives less than a mile away from the synagogue that had that horrible, horrible episode the other day. And he spoke in the locker room, apparently, about how the team needs, you know, someone. We are a family. We represent more than just ourselves. And apparently it was very moving, and, you know, I'm not a big rah-rah guy, but it reminds us. Look at Boston Strong. You know, something like this can really unite, into something us against them type of stuff. And, the Pittsburgh Steelers always, they're there. You know, it's like the St. Louis Cardinals. You know, they're there.
What we saw, Robert, is sports never changes anything after tragedy. It doesn't bring a single person back to life. It doesn't ease the family's pain. Their lives will never be the same for a single day for the rest of the world. But you can see sometimes that it's as simple as this. Sometimes sports makes people feel a little better. Okay, it just makes them feel a little better. And it does feel that they are a part of something. And whether it was Boston strong or Houston strong Houston ended up nearly underwater, you know, we all remember. And again, I'm not creating any false equivalencies between one tragedy and another. We remember what it was like to watch Mike Piazza's home run that night after baseball returned to Shea Stadium after 9/11. Bob and Robert, I remember I was there for Game 6 in 2013 when the Boston Strong Red Sox won the World Series, okay? And after I had finished writing that night, I decided to walk back to my hotel. It's about a mile and a half walk back to my hotel because they created this perimeter. Bob, you know, they created a perimeter.
Oh, I was there in the stands.
Yeah, and I finally decided to walk back to my hotel on Arlington Street. And as I'm walking home, I end up writing a column about this the next day. I decided to not walk up Comm Ave, but to walk up Boylston Street. And I walked up Boylston Street, past the public library, past exactly where the bombing had occurred. And I'm thinking, this was only a handful of months ago. But one thing that the Red Sox of 2013 never did, and Bob Ryan knows this, Robert, they didn't just touch on that. It became a running important part of the narrative. Okay. And as I walked down that street, I was thinking, okay, Boston was one kind of city that day, and now it's a kind of a joyful place tonight, but it did not forget the tragedy.
And to amplify what you were saying about the connection, and when they had the victory parade, the duck boat parade, Johnny Gomes led a contingency, led a wreath at the finish line on Boylston Street.
Yeah, so it doesn't change anything. But, Robert, you're right to mention it because Tomlin was eloquent. And to talk about in all ways, literally and figuratively, what happened hit home with him. So it was a nice moment. I'm glad the Steelers won the game. Okay, I have no rooting interest against the Browns or anything like that. But you know what? For a few hours yesterday, sports provided a little tiny bit of respite in Pittsburgh.
Well,
and I got one other question about pro football now. Okay, isn't it amazing that we are this long into the Sports Reporters podcast, guys, and we haven't mentioned the name Patrick Mahomes?
Yes. Well, that's because he just had a routine day at the office. That's all. I mean, if he had done anything out of ordinary, we probably would have had paid more attention. But
what
just
is
because
it? 25 touchdown passes
just because
so
he
far?
Threw for four more. I mean, you know, give us six or seven. And we'll, you know, it's. He's appointment TV.
You took the words right out of my mouth. The Kansas City Chiefs. In fact, does anybody want to bet against who's the cover of Madden next year? I mean, this guy and that team. Now, I'm an old AFL fan, so I'm loving this. I'm loving seeing the. You know, I'm waiting for Buck Buchanan and Otis Taylor to jump out there.
Daryl and Monica.
Oh, man. That was the best. Babe Pirelli. I mean, we're going to go back.
Vito Babe Pirelli. Yes.
So I'm loving seeing the Kansas City Chiefs, and I am loving and I'm really hoping. I want to see Andy Reid win. I really do. I want to see Andy Reid get a ring, or at least get to the. I want to see him get a ring. I got to be honest.
22 touchdown passes for this young man. Yesterday, four more. This is a ridiculous run that he is on. He's thrown five interceptions. He's got quarterback ratings off the charts. And again, how it took 2 months into the season for Robert Wall, you're right, for this to just become a routine performance from this young man.
It's unbelievable. And Cora was warming him up in the bullpen last night also.
he could have, you know what, as the son of a pitcher, he could have given him three outs.
I'm okay, sure now, he could.
All right, so now, we said we were going to talk about this, okay?
Yeah.
Because there's not much Monday Night Football to talk about because it's the Bills against Touchdown Tom, so I think the Patriots are going to go to 6-2, okay? Arliss has become, will officially be announced, I think tomorrow, we're having this conversation on Monday, obviously. Brody Van Wagenen is an agent, has become the general manager of the New York Mets. And again, there is some precedent for this. Bob Myers was an agent from the Wasserman Group. He is now running the Golden State Warriors, one of the great teams of all time already. And Rob Pelinka is Magic Johnson's sideman with the Lakers. All right, Mr. Arliss, what do you think about this?
Well, here it is. Like you said, it's not unprecedented. And in my business, by the way, in the movie business, there have been many, many, many agents who have gone on to run studios and become studio heads. And as I'm sure, our mentor, Bill Goldman, would say, the one thing about this, you can be sure.
Mentor and my writing hero, Bill Goldman.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's the guy. The one thing you can be sure about agents is they are about stars. You could be sure. This is the one thing. He is going to do everything to convince Will Pons to spend money, because agents are about stars. I would think that the Mets are going to re-sign DeGrom. I'm going to think they're going to go after one of the big guys this year. And you're going to have a payroll.
Well, let's talk about the big guy. I was just about to ask you, do you think they will be that he will be able to go after Bryce Harper?
Or Machado, yes. Yes, I think they will. I think that's what agents look for. They want stars. Remember, this guy represented some of the biggest stars ever. The little guys, not so much. They're not going to be there as much. I mean, what's his name? Brody Van Wagadabadoo, whatever.
Yeah.
Yabba Dabba
Doo. I think that's a little impersonal.
Okay, I was a Wagadab, whatever.
Von Wagenen.
Wagadabba Doo. I'm sorry.
All right.
Anyway, this guy is obviously very smart. And also, let's keep in mind, it's the Mets. It's like, this could blow up in their face. How much are they going to let him do? Remember, this is a guy who had no power to hire coaches, no power for a manager, no power for a pitching coach. So he's there. And also, I keep hearing that, well, if I'm DeGrom and I'm the guys he represents, am I upset about this? I'm thinking just the opposite. You know this guy's going to take care of you. He's going to come up to you and say, listen, you want an extension? I'll take care of the extension. And if you don't want to play here, you can use me for leverage. He's going to help his guys. I don't think that's going to be – this guy is going to go for stars. That's his game. So, players make the team. So, most of the time, if I got better players than you, I'm going to win. So, I think it's going to be interesting. But I'm sure he's going to go after big stars.
Bob, what do you think? One more sports generality topic we need to just touch upon is Ty Lue.
Yeah.
I know they're 0-6. We knew they were going to stink. I don't know. But the thing is, he's getting a $15 million kiss, so I guess I don't have to feel too sorry for him. But I didn't see that coming necessarily right away.
Isn't it amazing what has happened to the Cavaliers? I mean, hardly shocking. Hardly shocking. But it's like, it's like Brigadoon. I mean, they had this renaissance.
Good. I like that. Another good reference.
He came back. He came back. Number 23 rare, came back.
Buck, I may have to sing, Mike.
No. Damn it. It's like in the courtroom shows where you open the door. Well, when I open the door, he sings. Okay. But they had this moment. They had this extraordinary moment. And I think if any Cavaliers fan who was honest said, yes, we would trade going back to what we were for that championship, they'd all say, yeah, I would sign up for that. It's like Giants fans. Would you sign? You've now become the worst team in the league, but you had those two Super Bowls against the Patriots. When I look at them and that they haven't won a game, it is you have to have some empathy for Cavs fans.
I guess. I'm just thinking more about him himself, because he seems to, by all odds, to be a very good guy, and people, Kevin Love had the nicest thing. And by the way, whoever the immediate future is even dimmer, because Love's hurt.
I don't know who the best college player is, but they're going back to Lotteryville. They've gone all the way back to when they drafted LeBron, whatever it was, 15 years ago, whatever the hell it was. All right, listen, before we get to parting shots, we are quite happy on this podcast to have Gillette as a sponsor now. And from podcast to podcast and week to week, you hear me talking about my own personal relationship with this company, my pop, who Bob Ryan knows. Burroughs is a Gillette guy. There was never a question that I would be a Gillette guy. I have three sons. They're all Gillette guys, okay? And it doesn't matter what razor you have with them. This is the home office for this stuff. The Mach 3, the Pro Shield, the shaving cream, I'm all in on this. I have no elaborate shaving needs. I shave once a day, and if I'm going to shave once a day, I'm sure as heck going to shave with Gillette, okay? But here's the good news. Here's the good news. No more going to, you guys hear me talking about this, but you know, Ryan knows this, Mr. Wall. Simple tasks can defeat me, okay? Mrs. Lupica knows this, okay? She'll come in sometimes and watch me trying to open something, and finally I will hear her say, please give me this. I can't watch that anymore. Okay, so Robert, it's true. I don't want, same
yeah.
deal? Yeah, so I don't want to go to the pharmacy and have to do the thing where you got to open and get the thing out and put the, no, okay. You can now get Gillette quality blades at the best value and convenience with Gillette On Demand. With Gillette On Demand, you can get blades delivered directly to your door. Subscribe to Gillette On Demand today and get 50% off your first order with a special offer code SPORTSREPORTERS50 at checkout. Enjoy free shipping, and every fourth order is free with the subscription. Visit Gillette online at GilletteOnDemand.com and use SPORTSREPORTERS50 for 50% off your first order. Again, we are so happy to have them as a sponsor. It is time for our parting shots, and Mr. Ryan will go first.
On December 15, 1996, a rookie place kicker for the Patriots named Adam Vinatieri endeared himself to coach Bill Parcells and his teammates by making a touchdown-saving tackle of Herschel Walker on a kickoff. That's a football player, Parcells said. 5 seasons later, he made one of the iconic kicks in football history, initiating a Super Bowl run that continues. And Sunday, Adam Vinatieri, 8 weeks shy of his 46th birthday, but still a viable NFL force, kicked 2 field goals and 3 extra points for the Colts, making himself the all-time leading NFL scorer with 2,544 points. He already had the most career field goals. Great-grandfather Felix Vinatieri, the bandmaster for General George Custer, who was sent back to the camp prior to the Battle of Little Bighorn, I am not making this up.
No, that's analytics right there.
Would have been proud. Adam Vinatieri is the only man to have scored 1,000 points for 2 NFL teams. He's got 4 Super Bowl rings, and I think it's safe to say he can start preparing his Hall of Fame acceptance speech. Congratulations to a, great football player.
The beauty of sports remains the same if you love sports. The beauty of sports is that sometimes the biggest stories can turn on a few moments, or sometimes a few feet. So Gary Sanchez's ball at Yankee Stadium on a night when the Yankees could have pushed the Red Sox to Game 5 in the division series was a few feet short of being a home run to left field. And it was the same way in right field at Minute Maid Park for Brian McCann in the next series when it looked like he might have hit a home run that changed everything in the American League Championship Series. At the very end of that Red Sox-Yankees series, Eduardo Nunez, who has no real position, made a play on a slow roller, and Steve Pierce, who no one knew at the time would end up MVP of the World Series, somehow kept his foot on first base, and the Red Sox won the series and kept winning. Andrew Benintendi made the catch of his life at the end of Game 4 against the Astros. If Benintendi had missed, the Red Sox might have lost that game and that series, but he didn't miss. It's still a game of inches or feet that can change sports history. That is it for our Monday edition of the Sports Reporters Podcast. We are with you every Monday and Friday. Mitch is on the road today with his book, The Next Person You Meet in Heaven, which has become a huge
his number
bestseller.
One book.
It's his number one. It opened at number one. And he is up in Canada today. Just posted a picture of him with Bobby Orr, the people you meet on book tours. Anyway, continue to subscribe, however you subscribe to your podcasts. Go to radio.com. Wherever you go, our numbers continue to grow. We have continued what we think is a pretty fine tradition. Once again, thanks to our buddy Robert Wolf for joining Ryan and me today. And we will talk to you on Friday, everybody.